Hello, good morning, how you doing? Waking up with
ladies and gentlemen,
Josiah and Ellie.
It goes like this.
3 days since you last heard our voices. I'm so sorry about it.
Woo.
Yes, of course they miss us.
You think so?
Twiddling their thumbs, wondering when we're going to be back in their ears, and here we are.
Just had a sneak peek at the downloads of Friday's catch up because it's been an extra day.
You love checking the downloads, don't you?
Through the roof, I might say.
Through the roof. Through the roof, he says.
Through the absolute roof. And you know what? We missed you guys too.
Yeah. Don't ever podcast like Hamish and Andy and stuff.
Nah, go for us.
Nah.
Our downloads are through the roof compared to theirs.
Theirs are just sitting on the top of the roof, just chilling.
Yeah. And ours are going through it.
Yeah, exactly.
Past theirs. Almost not quite. Big show today. We had Nick from Married at First Sight, Cassandra Thorburn as well. You might know her as...
a children's author.
You might also know her as...
A great dancer on Dancing with the Stars.
You might also know her as...
nothing else. The mother of some beautiful children.
Who their father is...
some dude who used to be on TV.
Whose name is...
they're not important.
Karl Stefanovic's ex-wife.
She is a woman in her own right.
She does not need
to be linked to him anymore.
Do I ask her about him? Does she hang up on us? You're going to have to wait to find out.
Nick from Married at First Sight joins us as well. He's a cracker of a dude. So, enjoy the catch-up. We'll speak to you again tomorrow.
Are we ready?
The catch up
with
Josiah and Ellie.
Well, something I'm sitting on the edge of my seat for is our chat with this lady, Dancing with the Stars. It was on again last night and we did say goodbye to one of our favourites, Cassandra Thorburn. She joins us now. Morning, Cass.
Good morning. On the edge of your seat. That's a compliment. Thank you, Al.
Well, to tell you the truth, I'm always on the edge of my seat. I'm just up and about everything. So, you know, don't feel too honoured. But
Jeepers. How to beat a girl down.
I brought you up and then I brought you right back down.
Yeah, I'm used to it. Don't worry. Story of my life.
Tell me more, Cass.
So we did say goodbye to you last night. How do you feel now that your Dancing with the Stars journey's come to an end?
I feel like I'm going to have a really good sleep at some stage. That's how I feel. It's like when you're in it, Marco and I were just talking about it. It's like when you're in it, you just keep going because it's been 7 days a week, you know, and kind of pretty brutal sort of a schedule. And, you know, now it's sort of like, oh, wow, I'll probably end up getting sick and I'll, you know, everything will come crashing down. But it was great while it lasted. But I'm okay. I'm okay going. It was a fabulous experience, but there's some good dancers there, you know, and I was not one of them. Really?
So it sounds like a bit of a relief now that it's all over as well, Cass. You did say that your kids were your inspiration for Dancing with the Stars. Were they proud of Mum?
Oh, absolutely. No, they've been great supporters. But I'm sure that they're probably glad that given I went from, you know, hot pants to a leotard, they were probably worried I was stepping out in a bikini next week. So, you know, they're probably relieved, I would think.
I read that your decision to go on the show was based purely on the fact that your son said that you can't dance, so you wanted to prove him wrong. Is that true?
Yeah, no. So what happened was it was actually, you know, my dad said not to have regrets before he passed away. But when I told my son Jackson that I was going to do it, he did say, no, you're not. And I said, why? And he said, because you can't even dance.
So did you prove him right or wrong?
You know what? He was right. I should have listened to him. But, you know, I kind of thought, oh, you know, come on, how hard can it be? Turns out it's pretty hard.
Nah, Cass, we watched you. You were great. I've got two left feet.
I had two left feet.
You and I both. Maybe we should salsa together, Cass, and see what happens.
Oh, can we?
Yes, please.
Oh, wow. Bring it on.
Do you know what,
Cass?
You're a regional Victoria girl. I'm in Shep. You're originally from Mildura, so welcome home, Cass.
Absolutely. I'll be there with bells on.
Can I tell you, Cass, that's my inspiration every Saturday night when I go to the clubs. People tell me, Ellie, you can't dance. And I prove them wrong on that dance floor. So I feel you, sister.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? When you're in a club, like I was a bit like that too. But, you know, it feels okay, right? Because, you know, everyone's drunk and, you know, no one's really looking at anyone. Turns out that when you do it on a TV show and you're on camera, people are watching you.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm sensing a thing.
Turns out it's very different.
We spoke to Constance Hall on Friday and I told her the story about how I used to dance in the school musicals. She said the same thing. She's like, well, that wasn't on TV, Ellie. I'm like, do you know what? I should probably stop comparing myself to you guys.
Yeah. It's pretty brutal stepping out on that stage in front of everyone and sort of thinking it's on telly. Constance is fabulous, isn't she?
She is. She did well. The Barefoot Bandit.
Yeah. The Barefoot Bandit. Is that what we're calling her?
Yeah, she said she hates wearing shoes when she has to dance.
So. Hey, Cass, can I ask, you're a brilliant children's author. Any book ideas come from your experience at Dancing with the Stars at all?
I'm not over it yet. I'll have to have a good think about that. We'll have to have a good think about it. But yeah, at the moment, I'm just recovering. We're trying to.
Good on you, sister. Well, you go and get some rest. We've thoroughly enjoyed having you on this season of Dancing with the Stars, and good luck for whatever you do next.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
I'll see you in town soon for a dance, Cass.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Come to the clubs with me on a Saturday night. It'll be great.
Oh, well.
Oh, it'll be fantastic.
Right, hang on. She's my date. Leave her alone.
I got her first. Dancing with the Stars. It is back next Monday on the Win Network, 7:30 p.m. Cassandra Thorburn, thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you so much. DM me about that nightclub.
we will do, sister.
Desire and Ellie.
Hey, I want to tell you about my friend Jermaine. Cool name, right?
Jermaine. I thought when I heard that name, I just thought of Jermaine from.
No, Jermaine. It's a boy. He's a boy.
Summer Heights High.
Yeah. Jermaine is the nicest, most polite guy you'll ever meet in your life. Like, just wouldn't hurt a fly. Really, like, timid but polite. Just the best guy ever.
Like Jermaine Jackson.
I don't know anything about Jermaine Jackson, really.
He's Michael Jackson's brother. Okay. Very topical at the moment.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about my friend Jermaine instead.
Jackson.
So Jermaine nearly got arrested over the weekend.
Oh, sounds like a really nice guy. What did he do, break into a house? Did he rob a kid, run someone over?
You were closest with the first guess. So he went home. He lives in an apartment block, right? And he got home to his house completely sober, middle of the day, nothing sus about it, and goes to get into his apartment and starts fiddling with the lock and realizes it's not working. And he's like, what's going on? So he's like banging on the door, trying to open it, trying to get his key in, trying to what's the word when you body slam it?
Barge it, yeah.
Yep. Nothing's working. He thinks there's something wrong with my key. There's something wrong with my lock. Next minute, he hears a voice coming from inside the house saying, please, leave me alone, please, please, and then yelling out, Phil, 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 there's someone trying to get in the house.
Wait, that is so scary, though.
I know.
Why are there people in his house?
Well, that's the thing. Jermaine's like, what is going on? Who is in my house? And why are they scared of me? I should be scared of them. They're on my property. So he's trying to do this for 30 to 40 seconds. He's trying to deal with this person on the inside of his house. Like, what are you doing in my house? And she's like, what are you doing trying to get into my house?
What?
Turns out Jermaine was on the wrong floor of his apartment block, had the wrong apartment.
Oh, Jermaine.
The nicest
are you joking
guy
me?
Ever.
Why would he? How? Is he a bit simple? Is
no,
he slow? Is he
no,
what? How can you?
I asked him about it. He's like, I don't know. I was just daydreaming. I wasn't focused. I'd had a long day.
Oh, come on. Are you sure he wasn't on the hammer or something? No. Why was he? It's not that hard. I don't care what mindset you're in. You know where you live. You go up your flight of stairs. Is it a huge building block or how is this possible?
Yeah, I think it's a couple of stories, but on the whole, like, you know how those big apartment blocks.
I don't care. How long has he lived there for?
The same.
It doesn't matter. It's his home. How long has he lived there for?
Only like a year.
Oh, a year of going back to the same place every day and you don't know which is your apartment? Sounds fishy to me.
What? You reckon he was trying to break in?
Yeah, probably. And that's his cover. Oh, I live floor upstairs and didn't know. Jermaine Jackson, you dirty
it's
dog.
It's not Jermaine Jackson.
Wow, what a story. So what ended up happening?
Anyway, so he eventually explained to the woman. He said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm absolutely mortified. I thought this was my apartment. I was wrong. I'll leave you alone now. And the woman just gave him death stares.
Wow.
She did not forgive him.
That's an awkward lift ride next time he bumps into her in the elevator.
Yeah, big time, big time. But it's not the first time this has happened. I've heard that many stories about people getting the wrong house or getting the wrong car. It happens all the time.
Yeah, I had a friend who I lived in an apartment myself and he hadn't been over to the place before and all the boys were waiting for him to arrive. And he sends me a text saying, what's your address again? And so we Google mapped the unit directly across the road that we could see into. And sent him that address.
Oh, no.
And so we all sat on our balcony and watched him go up these stairs, and we saw him go into the apartment. He's one of those guys that doesn't knock. He goes straight in the door.
Oh.
We see him in the unit. We see a light goes on, and then we see him run down the stairs, get chased by it. I should chase the video because we've got a video of it. One of the boys filming the whole thing. It was one of the best moments of our lives.
Why are you so mean? Why is this guy supposed to be your friend? Why stitch him up like that?
The wrong place. It was the best moment of my life.
Well, we want to talk about this morning. 13, 12, 16. Did you get the wrong house? Maybe it had a couple of frothies and you wandered into the wrong one. Or maybe there was something equally as innocent as Jermaine's story. We want to hear it. 13, 12, 16. I happened to a friend of mine, actually. She is a really bad sleepwalker. And she fell asleep at her holiday house and in the middle of the night got up, left the house, went downstairs, went into the neighbor's house and went onto their couch and slept on the couch. Woke up in the morning and was like, what is going on?
Where am I?
Yeah. Luckily, she knew the neighbors.
Wow.
Because they woke up and they're like, why is she?
Let's just leave her alone.
Yeah, exactly. We put the call out 13, 12, 16. This is after my friend over the weekend, another friend. Jeez, I got lots of friends ending up in the wrong house. My friend Jermaine tried to get into a house that he thought was his. He was banging on the door and then all of a sudden a woman starts screaming inside and he realises it's not his house that he's trying to get into.
Bad mistake, Jermaine.
Yeah. Gemma's messaged us on Hit GV saying someone did that to me when I was living in Sydney, except they followed me from the lift and continued to follow me right into my apartment. I slammed the door into his face and called building management and the police. He kept trying to open the door while I was screaming. Turns out he just moved into the apartment directly above me and got off on the wrong floor. So makes sense.
Wow.
13, 12, 16, if you've got a story about getting the house wrong. Ben from Echuca, are you giving us a call? Did this happen to you, bud?
Hey, guys. Yeah, we were coming back from a night out and going to my mate's place. And he lived in this like new sort of townhouse block. And we were trying to get his housemate to wake up and let us in because the guy who was staying with, he was struggling a little bit further behind. So we're bashing on the door and knocking on it, just thinking we're waking up the housemate. It'd be a bit of fun. And then we see the lights go on and a very angry man say, I've just called the police, go away.
No.
What, it was, yeah, how did you get the wrong house?
They all look the exact same. And
it's always the way.
We went to the house next door instead.
Why is it that boys, when they're drunk, want to make a lot of noise? I never understand that.
It's just good fun.
Okay. Fair enough.
Shy otherwise. But, okay. You know, we have a few.
Fair enough. All right. Well, good to know.
Safe to say everyone in Echuca knows exactly who Benny is, I reckon.
Exactly. Thanks for your call.
No worries.
Hey, keep hitting us up with those stories. Hit GV on Insta. Hit Goulburn Valley on Facebook.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch Up
with
Josiah and Ellie.
We may be a little bit late to the party. But when it comes to being able to eat in the name of radio, I say I'm okay with it.
Well, did you buy these or what?
I did. Yep. I was driving back from Melbourne yesterday, stopped at that Coles Express on the way up, the one with the Hungry Jacks, before Wallen.
Give it a bit of a shake so everyone can hear what you've got there.
I have the Pringles mystery flavour.
So explain to me, because I'm not quite across what's going on, because I said it, I think, last week on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Pringles, unless it's a sour cream and onion flavour, do not buy them. I'll go out and say it's the only good flavour. Every other chip company, they can make what they want. Pringles are known for sour cream and onion. Any other flavour, terrible.
No, disagree. Original salt and vinegar, come at me. And I reckon I'm going to be a fan of this. I haven't tried it yet. I haven't even opened it. But basically, they've released this limited range mystery flavour. It is in a black and white can. So you can't... The packaging gives nothing away.
So is it like those jelly beans where it could be snot flavoured, it could be like poo flavoured, or it could be like chocolate flavour, it could be sour cream and onion? Like how do we know what it's going to be? What are the options?
I suppose that's the risk you're taking, really, is that it could be a bad flavour. But I spent my $3 anyway because I'm willing to take that risk. It's the type of person that I am, Josiah.
Well, pop it open, baby.
Basically, they're saying if you guess the flavour, you can win $10,000. So I'm short of cash at the moment, so...
Man, you're really struggling with that packet of Pringles.
I did really struggle. I am about to win this. Oh, my goodness.
What is wrong with
you? Open?
You need to go to the gym.
Hey, F45, mate, work out here. All right.
Man, do they need to do an activity at F45 on how to open Pringle packets?
I think they actively encourage you not to eat Pringles at F45.
Quick, hurry up, I'm hungry.
Okay, no, I'm having a sniff.
Oh, yeah, good idea. Here, let me see.
Okay. It's a bit cheesy almost.
Yeah, you know.
It smells a bit cheddar-y. I've always wanted to be a detective.
Can
this
I go?
Is
yeah,
go
for it.
No,
time.
You can go. Oh, that's a real good crunch sound. That's like that KFC ad we're playing at the moment.
I don't mind it. It's no sour cream and onion. You're on
Ooh,
the money.
I love it.
It's not far from cheddar.
No, but now that I've said cheddar, you're just going to be thinking of nothing else but cheddar.
Get involved, Goblin Valley. Go,
get your own. What flavour do you think it is? That's fantastic.
If you want to get involved, go buy your own packet and play along at home.
Could it be like something with garlic, like a pickly garlic?
Yeah.
It's a pickled onion?
It could be a pickled onion. It's like a cheesy, what's the flavour I like? Onions and sour cream, whatever it's called. I do like it, I promise. You know what we need?
Are you an ambassador of sour cream and onion Pringles? Because you are really going hard on
it. I promise you, I have that with omus so much.
With what?
Omus.
What's omus?
Hummus.
Why did you say omus?
That's how you meant to say omus, is how you pronounce it properly. I've got a great story about omus, but I think this break will go for too long.
Stop saying omus.
It's how you say it. It's a real way of saying it. Hummus is the Australianized version. It's omus.
Quick question. What country are we in?
We're in Australia. What country is omus from? It's from omus.
Wow, we've learned a lot about you this break, Josiah.
I was in Spain not long ago, and I went up to someone and said, excuse me, where's the hummus? And they said, what? And it took about 5 minutes. And then I went and I Googled a picture and showed them, and they said, oh, omus. I'm like, yes, omus.
Are you still talking about hummus?
So what are we going with here? What are we locking
I'm
in?
I'm going with pickled onion.
Yeah? How do we get people to vote? How do we get people to vote?
No, we don't really. Send us some thoughts. What do you think it is?
We just wanted to eat chips on the radio, guys.
Yeah, really.
That's about it.
Really, that's all
while
we've got
we wait for
us.
Nick from Married at First Sight to call through.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if he's tried them. Mm. We'll get his thoughts on it.
Yeah, maybe not.
Are we ready?
The catch-up
with
Josiah and Ellie.
We've been very excited to talk to this guy all morning because Married at First Sight, it's all anyone has been speaking about for the last 25 episodes worth.
What a series it has been.
It's been crazy. Nick, he's been paired up with Cyrell and he joins us now. Morning, Nick.
G'day, guys. How are you going?
Oh, we're so good, mate. I'm so happy we've got you on. I have 1 million questions for you. So how long have you got?
Ask your first one about the Pringles.
Oh, first things first, Nick. We just tried the mystery Pringle flavour on air. Have you tried it yet?
I haven't actually. What did you say? Shanghai something?
Yeah.
What were you saying?
I reckon Shanghai dumpling.
Shanghai dumplings? Why does it have to be from Shanghai? Or
well, you know those dumplings with the soup inside? That's what I'm getting a soupy kind of flavour
nah,
to it.
I think it's a smoky pork ribs with a bit of cheddar cheese on the side. It's a bit random, Nick, but that's how it tastes. So. More important things to talk to you about. Last night's episode, wow, you went back to Sorrell's house, the brother. How is he in person? Is he as intimidating as he comes across on TV?
Well, being 5'2" is not very intimidating to start with, but he's just respecting his sister. He's looking out for her. He's looking out for what's best for her and the family. So, you know, you got to respect that. But, yeah, it's just hard when he hasn't seen everything that's been going on.
Yeah, he doesn't see what a sweet but psycho she is, the song we just played. Cyrell, his brother, surely, though, everything we see on TV, is it just how it is on the show, or is it completely different things in real life? Because I'm just picturing the confrontation you had, but then with the camera crew around, like I'd find it hard not to laugh, Nick.
It is what it is. People are saying those things and doing what they want to do. Everyone's got a choice on the show. No one's forced to say anything or forced to do anything. So if he wants to be the tough guy brother, then that's him. You know, he was like that at the wedding and he hasn't changed. So
have you ever had to deal with that with a former partner before? Like there's family getting involved?
No, I haven't, thankfully. Like I've been a pretty likable person, I think. So, I wouldn't want to get into those positions. So I wouldn't, do anything wrong. I try not to. And it was really confrontational. Like I didn't know what to do. I didn't know. I just smiled. I was like, did this just really happen?
Yeah.
I'm an older brother myself, Nick. I've got two younger sisters and I'm very, very protective over them. But I look at that relationship and there's another one on the show as well. And I think that the brother sister are a little bit too close for comfort. I'm not insinuating anything, but did you ever get weird vibes like, oh, come on, I get you're protective, but this is a bit too much? Or is that how they edit it on TV?
No, nothing incestuous, definitely not. But
glad we cleared that up.
Yeah. Just being a protective brother, maybe too protective, I don't know.
Oh, Josiah, you're on fire this morning. Hey, can I ask you a question? Right, so you know how Jessica came on to you at one stage? She, you know, said that she was keen on you, and you shut her down. I was so proud of you, firstly,
yeah, well done,
for shutting her down. And I said to my housemate, because we saw on TV, we saw her propositioning you, and then there was the dramatic pause as it went to an ad break. In that ad break, my housemate and I were saying, if he says no to this right now, when he finishes this show, even if it doesn't work out with Cyrell, he will have access to any girl in Australia.
Oh, including Jess, most likely, as well.
All you got to do is be a stand-up guy right now and girls will swoon for you. Did that cross your mind at all? When she propositioned you, did you think to yourself, all right, I'm on national telly here. Even if you were keen, was there any doubt in your mind that you were going to say, yeah, all right, I'm keen?
No, I was never, ever going to say I'm keen. Like, regardless if it's on national TV, you know, we're in this experiment. We're trying to find love, trying to find our soulmate. And, you know, it's a marriage. You know, you can't just go in there and change halfway when it's, you know, not switch sides at half time. It's, yeah. So, yeah, I definitely wasn't going to do anything silly. And especially not on national TV. You're right. You're not, people, some of the things that people have said and done, it's just like, are you thinking before you act?
Yeah.
Like, honestly.
Seems like you're the only one on that show who has had that thought process.
Ellie's hit the nail on the coffin, though, Nick, when she says you are. Oh, whatever. It is on the head, the coffin. It's all the same thing. I'm on fire today, Nick. My goodness.
God.
Like The Bachelor, for example, when you come second runner-up, you're basically the most famous single person in Australia. So same with Married at First Sight. You come off this show, you're famously single, and you've got at the moment over 80,000 Instagram followers. My goodness, you could be in for an absolute Disneyland field day when this show is all wrapped up, Nick.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm still married, so I'm not even thinking ahead.
But have, like, girls been sliding into your DMs?
Yeah, they're very, very savage, some of these girls. I've been getting a few photos as well. It's pretty full on. You know, usually you hear the guys sending the photos out, but some of these girls, they're pretty ruthless.
Nick, 2 weeks ago I had to take my clothes off. The Sydney Hotshots came to Shepparton, it was unbelievable to see females at a male strip show. Mate, they are 10 times more thirsty than us guys. Yeah, it's brutal. So I can see exactly why your DMs have been lighting up.
Yeah, it's full on. It's full on. But obviously I'm not looking or replying, so I'm doing the right thing.
Oh, still Nick, married. You are a stand-up guy and I like it. Me and my housemate are very proud of you.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it.
No worries at all. All right, well, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning. Married at First Sight, it does continue tonight from 7:30 p.m. only on Channel 9. Good luck with Cyrell, Nick, and if it doesn't work out, then good luck with the rest of Australia.
Ellie will slide into your DMs, mate.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
I'll look forward to it.
See you, brother.
See you,
bye.
Are we ready?
The Catch Up with Josiah and Ellie.
Ellie, a real life Jonah and the Whale story has happened, and this story will blow your mind. It is everywhere at the moment. When you went to South Africa at the start of the year, at the end of last year on air, you kept saying how scared you were about going because you're scared of dying. Yep. What were the different things you were scared about dying?
It was safari. I was scared of being eaten by a lion. I was scared of being mugged because crime over there is pretty out of control. A whole bunch of things, really.
Yeah, well.
Snakes, scorpions.
Great white sharks. Unfortunately, though, you did not go in the ocean because over the weekend, a man has been swallowed whole by a whale and spat back out again. He survived to tell the story.
This is unbelievable. Like, so, that can't happen. It's a that can't happen story.
Well, it's a real life Jonah and the Whale story. So he's a professional diver. He leads tours. And he says that he was swimming the ocean and everything just went dark and he knew straight away. Now, at first, I called absolute bull dust on this story.
Yep.
But you've seen the video.
Yep. I've just posted it to our Instagram, Hit GV. So check it out if you want to have a look at a guy being eaten by a whale. Why wouldn't you? Good to know that he's all okay. So you can watch it and, like, revel in the glory of it all, but not feel bad for him.
The scariest thing about the story, he said, is these whales, they're called, it starts with B, beruga, well, I don't even know what
beruga.
It is. Beruga.
No, that's a place called Cobram.
It's Cobram beruga whale. It actually swallowed him in the Murray. it's a freshwater whale. What they do is they take large gulps of whatever plankton, and then they can take it down 300 meters down into the water, and that's where they go because they can hold their breath for up to 20 minutes.
Imagine.
So thank goodness he got spat out because it could have been a very different story if it had taken him down underwater.
Do you think if that was the case and if he was in the belly of it, he'd be able to breathe in the oxygen that the whale had breathed in?
Good point. I would say no to that one.
No, because whales breathe oxygen or do they breathe water?
I'd say
that. You know how fish breathe water?
Oh, yeah.
And they get the oxygen out of the water. What do whales do?
Well, they have to come out. No, whales have to breathe because they use their spouts, I'm sure.
Hey, blowholes.
Dr. Chris Brown, if you're listening, can you give us a buzz? Now, they've got a blowhole to spit the water out.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Hey, you're the one with 3 degrees. I didn't finish.
Not in biology.
I haven't got anything to my name, so you should be the one that's smarter than me giving us the answers to this.
I love how you always just fall back on that. Like, oh, well, you've got 3 degrees, so you should know the answer to how whales breathe.
Well, you know who I'll ask? Dr. Google, how do whales breathe?
Whales and dolphins use their lungs to breathe air also.
Wow. He could have survived.
He could have survived.
Well, what about Jonah? He survived for 3 days under there.
Yeah, exactly.
Easy.
We tried to get this guy on, by the way, this morning. He could have answered all these questions for us. Rainer Schimpf.
That is one of the most South African names I've ever heard.
He's a ledge.
So Rainer Schimpf, what did he write back to? Has he read your message?
No, he hates my guts, obviously.
How did you message him?
Insta. Slid into his DMs.
Slid straight in, just like he slid into the whale's stomach.
Make sure you check out that video. It is up on our Insta, Hit GV, right now. Check out our story.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch Up with Josiah and Ellie.
Hey, kids. They say the darndest things, and sometimes turns out they're way smarter than the rest of us. So there's this kid called Alex. He's 10 years old, and he's written the cutest letter you'll hear today to the CEO of Qantas, Alan Joyce, who, by the way, is a legend. He's a cool dude. So he's written a letter saying, "Dear Mr. Alan Joyce."
Alan. Did he write that in the letter? He should have kicked off his letter like that. Alan.
You know how I said earlier, sometimes kids can be smarter than us? You're proving me right. He said, "I'm Alex, a 10-year-old boy," and then in brackets, "please take me seriously. And I want to start an airline. I've already started some stuff like what type of plane I'll need, flight numbers, catering, and more. I'm the CEO of the airline, which, by the way, is called Oceania Express." Oceania. Yeah. "I've hired a CFO, a head of IT, a head of maintenance, a head of onboard services, and a head of legal, as well along with my friend Wolf." We're both co-founders, so Alex and Wolf. Anyway, so he's asked Alan Joyce for some tips on how he's going to help passengers sleep on a longer flight from Perth to London, if he's got any tips, and that's the main thing he's asking.
And so what, Mr. Alan Joyce, the CEO of Qantas, saw the letter or not?
Yeah, of course he did. And you know what? He's written back. He's written back to Alex saying, "Hi, Alex. I would like to invite you to a Project Sunrise meeting between myself as the CEO of Australia's oldest airline and you as the CEO of Australia's newest airline." Basically said he's invited him along, and then he's posted, "Our competitors don't normally ask us for advice, but when an airline leader reached out, we couldn't ignore it."
Wow. How good is that for the kid?
So good. But first, like, how cool is the kid?
Surely Alan Joyce, though. What sort of tips is he going to give him? How to make your airline more expensive? Because Qantas, my goodness, they cost a arm and a leg.
Do not speak ill of Qantas. Remember, I wrote in premium economy recently.
Yeah, because you're loaded and you've got a lot of money.
Who else can afford Qantas, buddy?
Seriously.
Get a credit card. Pays for itself.
Tiger and Jetstar all the way. The only way I can afford to get anywhere.
Well, Alan Joyce has done something right. He's very rich. But it got me thinking about the celebrity letters that I've written in my time.
You've written a couple?
Not that many.
But when you're a kid, right? Not now, when you're older. Because it's a different age now with Instagram and things like that. Because I feel like you can just hit them up directly. But as back when we were kids, you had to write a letter. You had no other way of contacting
them. Yeah, exactly. The only one I can think of that I did was writing a letter to Santa.
We all did that.
This is... this is heading, oh, I got to say this carefully. When I was getting older in my realm of believing in Santa, because Santa is obviously real, but, you know, I was starting to question it.
Why would you question it?
I don't know. Kids at school were getting in my ear and I was like, oh, is it real? Is
those
it not?
Kids at school need to go back to their parents and get a smack in the back of their head because Santa is 110% real, kids.
Well, I did an Alex and I wrote a letter to Santa and I got my friend Maddie to also write a letter to Santa and we both asked Santa for his signature. So we could then compare the signatures just to check that it was the same one.
And what happened?
Obviously, it was the same one.
You got the exact same signature?
Yes. Josiah, I did.
What do you mean you did?
I did. You did? For the kids listening, yes, Santa was real. It was the same one.
What about for everyone else who's listening? Was it or not?
Don't make me say this. Don't do it.
No, because there could be theories behind it. Santa's a busy man. His elves might have written Santa doesn't have time to sign everything. Neither do these big celebrities.
No way. They have their minions. Back. We compared them and yes, they were 100% the same, Josiah.
An elf is equivalent to a celebrity's PA. So they sign things on behalf of the celebrity. They probably know their signature off by heart, whereas these elves probably did the same thing if you had a different signature. That's the only way to explain it.
Okay, maybe you're right. Yes, you're absolutely right. Well, luckily the signatures are exactly the same. Anyway, irrelevant. I want to talk about this morning the celebrities that wrote you back. Did you write your favourite, I don't know, hi-fi character a letter and they wrote you back or... Dame Edna. I don't know why Dame Edna came into my mind, but hey, maybe she wrote you back.
I don't reckon anyone has ever sent a fan mail to Dame Edna. Yeah, I sent a letter once to Shane Warne when I was in year six. I did a project on him.
Yeah.
I sent him my project when I'd finished. Never heard back from old Warney.
Aww.
Never ever heard back from him. However, now, fast forward, 20 years or so, I actually have his phone number.
Do ya?
So what comes around to bite you in the bum, old Warney.
Have you ever used that phone number?
Only at 2 a.m. to prank call him a couple of times.
How'd you get the number?
Through my former work. I had to line up an interview with him and so I got his personal mobile number. You don't think I saved that in my phone straight away?
Well, call him, get him on our show.
I will. I'll send him a text. Morning, Warney.
Let's ask him why he never wrote back to you.
I will. Let's get him on tomorrow.
We put the call out on 13, 12, 16 for the celebs that have written you back. Anna from Shep, you've given us a call. Did one write you back?
Yeah, so the other day, one of my friends, because I've got a bit of a crush on Sam Mack from the Today Show.
You and me both, sister.
Hey, and he's the Sunrise Weather dude, right?
Oh, Sunrise.
Yeah. Just clearing that up, Anna.
There's a difference. Yeah, she wrote and tagged me in a comment and I wrote back and was like, oh, I'd jump on the back of that bike because he was on a bike.
Oh.
And to clarify.
Good gear. And, love it.
And he wrote back and was like, there's room for two. It's on.
And Sam Mack is definitely single. I know that for sure as well. Wow. What did you reply to that message?
I fell off my chair firstly. Then I wrote back.
What'd you say?
I was like, date and time.
Oh, date and time.
Date and time, and you two can head to a Queen concert. Oh, well, I hope you enjoy riding that bicycle with Sam Mack. Keep us posted on how this blossoming romance pans out. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'll invite you guys to our wedding.
Beautiful. Please do. Apparently, he's a good kisser, so there you go, Anna.
You'd know, Josiah.
Oh, I would.
This is The Catch Up with Josiah and Ellie.
On the weekend, on Sunday, went on the long weekend to Hanging Rock. Went and did the whole Mount Macedon area. I love it down there. I've been there a few times now. Went to Hanging Rock for the third time, I believe I've been. And I tell you what, have you been before?
Nope.
It is one of the scariest places in Australia. You may recognise this music from the TV series or the movie, this one?
It was a book initially, then it got made into a movie, and it got remade into a miniseries on Netflix.
Yeah, so if you haven't been down before, it's about 2 hours from Shep. You can go there. It's $10. You just pay for your entry for your car. That's it.
You have to pay to get in?
Well, you pay basically for the national park fees there because it is a national park. And you can climb all the way to the summit, which is nice.
Did the girls have to pay when they went for the picnic there?
Good question. I'd say no.
Okay. Yeah, I'd say no too.
Because you have to pay on your way out. And unfortunately, if you know the story, a couple of them never returned. They're still up there missing. So Hanging Rock did not have to pay fees that day. Anyway, these girls have never been found. That's the story. the teacher. There's a whole bunch of different things going on. There's a museum at Hanging Rock now that you can walk through, like a virtual tour that tells you all the details of the story. It is one of the scariest things. I had goosebumps on the back of my arms that whole time. I came in and told you what I got up to on the weekend.
Yeah.
And you're like, why would you have goosebumps? The story isn't real.
Yeah. And you were like, yeah, it is. I said, hold on, it's not. It's widely known that it's a fictitious novel. It's not based on fact. It's written as though it's based on a true story, but it's not.
Well, I went through the museum at a place that you've never even been to before, and then I've been for three times now.
Yeah.
And in it, it clearly says it is widely debated that the picnic at Hanging Rock story about the girls missing, they came away with no memory as one showed up a week later with no memory as to what happened. Like, scary place.
Yeah, good story. Fake story.
It says it's widely criticized because a lot of people try to neg the story saying it's based on a novel, based on a TV series. Negative people like you.
It is.
However, it is not known whether it's true or not.
That's like me writing a book saying Picnic at Ramsey Street. And it being Neighbours. It's the same thing.
No, Hanging Rock and Neighbours are two different things. One's a terrible TV show. One's a real-life story. And you're mocking the life of these poor little girls and their families.
I'm not.
Who to this day have to live with the fact that they went missing.
Point me to their families. Point me to their direct relatives.
I will. I'll get one of their grandparents on the show.
Okay. You do that and they can produce a birth certificate and a death notice of their granddaughters or daughters or whatever. And I'll believe you.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make you walk through that museum. You're going to read about every death that's happened at Hanging Rock. And then I'm going to make you climb the rock. And then I'll push you. Oh, no, I made it too far. No. And I'll watch to see how scared you get because it is a true story. If anyone can help us out, 13, 12, 16.
Yes.
Is it true or is it not? Because so many people debate this on the regular. Do we have a prize for anyone that gets involved?
Yeah, in fact, at the moment, it's very fitting because this week we are giving away a picnic pack for the Euroa Cup. I can guarantee you, you will return from the Euro Cup, unlike these ladies allegedly.
So we can't take this picnic to Hanging Rock?
No.
We have to use it at the Euro Cup.
You do. It's going to be happening this Saturday the 17th. You get two general admission tickets, you get a cooler basket, a picnic rug, some water. God, these girls could have used this when they went on their picnic.
I was going to say, it sounds very similar to the picnic the girls had at the top of
the... Yeah. They didn't get six salami sticks though, that's what...
Part of the picnic. How do you know that? You wouldn't know. Maybe that's why they went missing.
Do you know what? They didn't get anything because it's not a true story.
It is 110% true. It's one of the most eerie places on earth that I've ever been to.
This is The Catch-Up with Josiah and Ellie.
Hey, but I want to talk about something quickly. So yesterday I went down to Melbourne because I thought I want to do a big shopping trip. So I went to High Point Shopping Centre.
Where's that?
Keilor.
Is that near the city?
Ish. The northern end of the city, I think. Look at me.
Is that like a DFO or is it a normal shopping centre?
No, it's a normal shopping centre. It's huge. Every shopping centre in Melbourne is huge. And it stresses me out, right? I'm from a big city. Well, not a big city. I'm from Perth. That's not
It's a country town. Yeah, come on.
Basically a country town.
Perth's the same size as Shep.
Well, it's not, but whatever. But since moving, I've lived away from the city now for 14 months. And now, when I go back down to a big city, I get real anxiety.
Oh, so do I, every time.
Oh, my God. Firstly, the traffic.
No, not for me.
My goodness. It's like beep, beep, beep everywhere you go. People are more high strung down there. They're beeping me more. But I went to this shopping centre. Firstly, I had to drive around for ages to find a park. Got one, went in, did my shopping, whatever, spent heaps of money. Then it came time to leave. Do you know how big that shopping centre is? So I was trying to find the entry that I came through and I could not find it for the life of me. So like picture me wandering around having no idea where I was coming from. There's like crowds everywhere.
Do you know where you parked? Like when you left the car park, do you remember looking up at the pillars, the concrete pillars and seeing B3 purple?
Well, kind of. I remembered it was a green section.
Oh, so kind of isn't a yes, kind of is a no. So you didn't check to see where you parked when you left?
No, because I didn't realise that there was 7 million entries to this place. And so I remembered walking kind of past the Hoyts. I knew that there was movies near where I'd walked.
The where?
In. The Hoyts.
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 You said that so weird.
Hoyts.
Hoyts Cinema.
Yeah.
You said...
Hoyts.
Yeah, you said it like you were spitting.
Hoyts.
It's just Hoyts.
It's the German way of saying it, Hoyts.
He's right.
Anyway, so I remember seeing that. It took me 50 minutes to find my car. I did laps and laps of this place. And it turned out the very first exit that I went to was pretty much the one that I needed to go to. And I went to that, walked all the way around, walked to the other end, cut through the middle, had no idea. I ended up having to go to the bathroom and just sit on the toilet.
What?
Drop
a quick number
just to sit down. But yes, to clear my head.
What you did yesterday doing a poo.
No, I didn't do that. Oh. Girls don't do that. But I was literally sitting on this toilet. Like
dropping an absolute golden nugget.
Like hand in hand, just like. Like I was having it. I've never had an anxiety attack in my life. I was having one.
So what was the relief like when you finally found your car?
Literally. Saw my car finally after all this, walked over to it, and I spoke to my car.
Oh, what'd you say?
So my car's called Trevor Trax because it's Trax. I call him Trev. Oh,
people that name their cars kill me.
I literally walked up and I go, "Hi, Trevor." And there's this person standing over there and they're just like, "What are you?" I didn't want to look me directly in the eye because I'm the creep talking to my car. The moral of the story is big cities suck. Take me to Maud Street Mall any day.
Oh, 100%.
It's one street. I know where I parked. It's fine.
Well, why don't you just do the key trick? You just go around the car park, press your keys 1,000 times until you see something light up.
There are 700 car parks at this place and 700 entries and exits. It's too much.
You're made for the country, aren't you?
Are we ready?
The Catch Up with Josiah and Ellie.
You know how I'm scared of technology?
Yeah, you are a little bit, aren't you?
I am. I feel like it's taking over. You know, you've seen the movies of it happening, and I feel like this incident I'm about to tell you about is another example of that. So there's a man, Ernest Quintana.
Morning,
I'll start
Ernest.
By saying, well, may he rest in peace.
Ah, not good morning to Ernest anymore.
No. I mean, he may be having a good morning, just on a different spiritual plane. He was 78 years old and he was rushed to hospital because he wasn't doing too well. And him and his daughter were sitting in their hospital room and in rolls a robot. When I say a robot, I mean a big kind of contraption with a video screen, and on the video screen is the face of his doctor.
Get stuffed. Now, whereabouts are we talking?
This is over in the US, in California. Anyway, the doctor tells him, "Hi, unfortunately, Ernest, you've only got a couple of days left to live. There's nothing more we can do for you."
Via the robot?
The robot!
That is so heartless.
So heartless. So it's gone viral, obviously, as it should, because a friend of the family who was there at the time videoed it, posted it to Facebook and said, "This needs to go viral. This is the robot doctor that came into my friend's dad's ICU room and told him that he's got no lungs left." Like, what do you mean? Imagine a robot telling you you're going to die. And sure enough, 2 days later, he passed away.
So at least he was right with his information. He wasn't giving the wrong information away. It was, you know what I mean? It's not like he told him he's going to live via robot and then he died.
Oh, but come on. Come on. I mean, I suppose it's a good story for Ernest's grandkids to hear.
It's a good story of the times to come. It's also better than if he had to go into an operation, it was a robot that operated on him and stuffed up something process.
That is what we're heading towards. In fact, I think there is. I think the surgery and whatnot has come so far that there are robots that are doing surgeries.
Interesting. Look, I would never let anyone touch my head with stitches ever unless it was a human being.
You say that now. Wait 10 years and then you get rushed to hospital with a head wound and they're like, "Oh, we've got this fancy new technology that's a robot." You'll be unconscious.
Maybe so I would prefer a robot. I'd take that statement back. About how old am I now? 29. When I was 15, I was playing football at school and a guy's tooth went in my head. I jumped up for a header and it was about an inch deep. So I had to get rushed to the doctor's to get stitches put in. And the guy that did it, he was very old school to say the least, so he didn't do the stapler treatment. He did it by hand, so he injected 4 numbing things into my head where it went, and then he stitched it up himself, but he did such a dodgy job with my head. I still get twitches and nerve twitches in my... Look, right there, I can touch exactly where it is.
Yeah, that's because you got a big molar in your head.
Yeah,
what happened to the tooth?
To this day, the tooth came out.
Oh, okay, thank God.
So to this day, I still get twitches, all because this guy didn't know what he was doing, so maybe I would prefer a robot do it.
Okay. I'll mark that in your file. Next time you get rushed to hospital, I want a robot doing all your surgery, including telling you that you're going to die.
It also explains why I can't talk on the show as well. Before that incident, I could talk fine.
Oh, God. Well, I just wanted to bring it up this morning because we're doomed.
Yeah, Ernest
and I. If robots are telling us we're going to die, the next step is them ganging up against us and actually doing the murdering themselves.
Ernest and I, very similar stories.
Very similar. May he rest in peace. Hello, good morning, how you doing? Waking up. Get up with Josiah and Ellie. The rest of my life gonna start today. On Golden Valley's Hit 96.9.